20 years ago, Serge Schmemann was the Moscow bureau chief for the New York Times. Mikhail Gorbachev had just come to power the month before. Chernobyl was a turning point.
People believed in their leaders until then. And here something happened that the government lied about, that showed a massive flaw in their technology, and that the government did not handle very well. So I think it was very much a defining moment for that time.
Is this true that the regular folk in the area were called out to parade on May Day, just days after this event, when the elite had actually fled town? They'd gotten away.
Yeah, that's true. In Kiev, people were called out to march on May Day, and of course these people were just sent out into the streets. Now, in retrospect, I don't know if they were placed in harm's way, because Kiev itself was not in direct line of the fallout. And of course, the fact is that the worst danger was to the north in Belarus, where people really didn't have a clue. Everybody was focused on Kiev, on Ukraine. But up in Belarus, people continued leading a totally normal life. I mean, going outdoors, eating vegetables, doing all the things that they really shouldn't have been doing. Even when they began evacuating people from Ukraine up in Belarus, they didn't do anything. When you mention, you know, May 1st, it also reminds me that when we first went up there into the zone, as they called it, 5 years later, the little village near the reactor, Pripyat, was still completely decked out for May Day. It had all the signs up and all the banners, and by then it was already abandoned and overgrown, but it looked like it was frozen in time on May Day.
After the explosion, there was this cover-up, but there was also an effort to try to contain as best they could the damage that had happened.
Well, the response developed over time and became massive. You know, in the beginning, they just had to put out a fire. There was a huge fire. The roof was burning, and this was sending tons of radioactive fallout straight up into the sky with the heat of the fire. So the original firemen, who truly are heroes, because, you know, no matter how little they knew that they were staring into a broken reactor, and they knew that it's bound to be radioactive, and they went in there and put out the fire and died fairly soon thereafter. They had to be reburied after they were buried in the Mitsina Cemetery in Moscow because their grave sites were so radioactive.
Do you remember a moment when you realized the magnitude of what had happened at Chernobyl?
It grew on us quite rapidly. Of course, we followed carefully which way the clouds and whatnot were going. So there was a very personal component, of course. We all were wondering, you know, it was a beautiful spring in Russia, and day after day, you know, perfectly clear sky, and you're wondering what is in this perfect spring air, this invisible evil that is spreading perhaps through you and through your family.
There's been a lot of discussion over the years about the long-term effects, not just on health and science, but the political effects of what happened at Chernobyl. How far-reaching do you think this explosion was?
Certainly the word Chernobyl still resonates with every Russian or every Ukrainian, every Belarusian. But when Russia was at a turning point, when Gorbachev had just come to power, when they were just beginning to talk about glasnost, about openness, suddenly there is a crisis that tests all of that. And in that sense, once, you know, the public felt less constrained about talking about accidents, about horrors, about the failings of the government, everything else fell in place. I mean, people started talking about Stalin, about questioning communism. So it greatly accelerated the end.
That's Serge Schmemann, who was the Moscow bureau chief for the New York Times during the Chernobyl disaster.